In this message titled God's Principles of Financial Increase, Pastor gives some basic instructions from the Word of God regarding lending, spending, managing finance in families, and much more. Once these foundations are set right, God will release a financial increase.
Tonight I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter and verse 19. But money answers all things. Tonight I want you to title the message, not a message actually, just the basic instructions. It is God's principles for financial increase. God's principles for financial increase. How many of you believe that God wants to give you a financial increase? It's not a bad thing. That can get a lot of Bibles printed. It costs money to print Bibles, do you know that? It can build churches, buildings. It can build orphanages, hospitals, old age homes. So I don't really understand what people's problem is with financial prosperity. It can hold huge evangelistic conventions in different parts of the world. You know, these lights cost, the screen cost, the sound system cost. It didn't come free. That comes because God increases us financially. So there is a set of teachings that go on among believers, even that prosperity is a bad thing. It is not. Like I said last week, money is neutral. It depends on whose hand it comes into. If it comes into the rightful hands, then there is a tremendous amount of blessings that will flow forth for the kingdom of God, that will glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I wanted to look at both your hands. Open your hands up. Amen. Open your hands up. Scientists have actually said that open-handed people are more calmer than tight-fisted people. Open hands are less stressful, are less contentious, and more patient. People with open hands. Are you with me? It's a posture of saying, Lord, I want you to help me. It's a sign of humility. I want you to bless the work of my hands. I want you to fill my hands with good things that I can glorify you with my hands. So look at your hands and say, these hands are going to be blessed in the name of the Lord. God is going to release forth his blessings into my life. I believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Thank the Lord. The world of the open-handed people. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 24. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 24. There is that scattereth or gives out or open-handed and it increases, and there is that withholds or is tight-fisted and that leads to poverty. So open-handed people are the ones who really prosper. If God can get it through you, then God will get it across to you. Are you with me? If God can get it through you, if you're going to be selfish, self-centered, me and my little world, then it's tough. Are you with me? But if God can get it through you, then God will get it to you. Hallelujah. So tonight we're gonna look at some principles, basic instructions on the principles of financial. Open your mouth and say, principles of financial increase. Some of you would wish that you had heard these principles before. The first principle if God wants to increase you financially, you might not like it, but bear with me. Are you with me? Just basic instructions. Don't loan or lend money to people. Don't loan or lend money to people. There are relationships that have got strained, broken because of this. You lend them money, now the phones have caller ID. So the moment they see your name coming up on that phone, they will say, tell them I'm not here. I've been pastoring for 25 years. I see people get into mess, people get out of mess. And there are certain principles that I've seen that has caused people to prosper, and there are certain financially bad decisions that people have taken that has led them downhill. Look at Luke chapter 6 verses 30 to 36. So I preach biblically, that's all. Are you with me? Do you have a problem with that? There are a lot of financial studies that can go across the world, but I just want to preach from the Bible. So some of these things might be tough, but it'll help you. It will save you. It will bless you. Luke chapter 6, 30 to 36. It says here, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. You can read the rest of it later. Look at the 34th verse. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, don't sinners do the same by lending it to sinners that way? But it says, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So when you lend in such a way that you are not expecting it back. Biblical lending is giving without any hope of getting it back. If you have money, definitely give. But don't hope to get it back. Give. Amen. The second principle. Never seek to get rich quickly. Open your mouth and say, never seek to get rich quickly. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 22. It is always good if you have your Bible, a piece of paper and pen, brother. Yeah. Proverbs 28 verse 22. Somebody just read it for me. He that is quick to be rich has an evil eye, and consider not that poverty shall come upon him. The New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But they that will be wanting to be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction. There is a saying, if it is too good to be true, it ain't true. There are many churches that I wanted to make money. I still remember when we were a small congregation, there would be people who come to me and say, Pastor, doesn't the church need money? We got this scheme that will get quick money. And thankfully, because I have a bad behavior of always asking the Lord, God protected me. And if you've been long time in the ministry, people will come to church to have business contacts. Don't come to church for that. Come to church to worship the Lord. Come to church to be instructed from the Word of God. Come to church to glorify the name of Jesus. But never come to church to network. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, don't come for networking. Are you still with me? Like I said, some of these things are pretty tough, but it'll help you. It'll keep you. It'll prosper you. It will bless you. I'm just laying a foundation. Amen. Number three. If God has to increase you financially, always learn to develop a budget. This was something that I never used to do. I used to be just wanting to be led of the Spirit, and I didn't realize that I could be led of the Spirit in even preparing a budget. But God told me, son, don't do that. As a matter of fact, He warned me. You have to know what your income is, and you have to know what your expenses are. You have to count the cost. With the income that is coming, can I do this? For people, there are more going out than coming in. Whenever you realize that your expenses are more than income coming in, then remember you are in a dangerous situation. You can either go on your knees and say, Lord, help me through this. Deliver me. Where have I gone wrong? Help me in this. Either that's a prophet, that's a prophetic call for, or from the Lord telling you, get a new job or get another job. Luke chapter 14 verse 28. The Gospel of Luke chapter 14 verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, or prepares the budget, whether there is sufficient to finish it? Are you with me? You want to buy a car because somebody else has got a car. Everybody else seems to be prospering, so you go to buy a car. And they're willing to give you a loan. And the EMI is pretty steep. And you take the car with an EMI. Until Jesus returns, you're paying on EMI. It just doesn't seem to finish. And as a matter of fact, I remember the first time I bought a car. Took a, you know, a little bit of money came in, then I took a loan, got a car. And I got an, I thought it was a profit when the bank told me they'll give me a loan. I said, God has answered my prayer. And I picked up this car, and then I'm paying on EMI, and after some time, one wise person told me, Pastor, this is the EMI that you're paying. And see, the car actually costs this much. I forget the exact rates, but imagine it's 10 lakhs. The car costs 10 lakhs. And by the time you've finished paying the EMI, you have paid 13 lakhs. So the car is only worth 10, but you're paying 13 lakhs at the end of the day. And you can fast and pray all that you want, saying, Lord, increase me financially. Whether it's Are you with me? So look at your income, look at what is going on. Sit with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, give me counsel concerning this. How do I handle this? The next principle. Is failure to live within your income. Failure to live within your income. Within your income, there are parameters on what you can afford and what you cannot. There are parameters. You know, I've seen, especially among believers, them having this attitude, I'm walking by faith. So they forget the parameters. I'm walking by faith. Faith is not foolishness. Faith is obedience to what God has said. It's not foolishness. So don't go and buy a house thinking that you will get a raise. If this business comes through, then this is what's going to happen. Don't do that. That you're presuming. Are you with me? Are you? Philippians chapter 4 verses 11 and 12. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. Are you able to understand whatever he is reading? Doesn't it seem like as if it is coming from heaven? Just an echo. Philippians chapter 4, 11 and 12. It says here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. That's the word I want to highlight. Are you with me? In whatever I have learned to be content. God has given you everything that you need for your present happiness. Be content. Sometimes it is almost like you can look at a congregation, at somebody's stress, and say, hey, that is beyond their means. That phone they're using, it's way beyond. Somewhere they are not content. That car they're driving, you know when it's a real blessing from God, but you know when people have done something out of just pure foolishness. Look at somebody and say, be content. Never co-sign, that's the next point. Or get into a contract. No co-signing, that is a better word to use. No co-signing. CO and signing. Co-signing. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. It says there, my son, if thou be a surety for thy friend, and if you have stricken thy hand with a stranger, and thou art ensnared with the words of thy mouth, deliver yourself. You're co-signing. If you get into trouble, I'll bail you out. I'll pay off your debts. You're being a surety for somebody else's debt. It's not a biblical thing to do. Now, they might be good people, people that you know. Are you with me? They might just need that for that particular season, and you know they'll repay. But it is not a biblical thing. That's why I said, the B-I-B-L-E. Don't be a surety for somebody else's debt. That person said within 3 months he will pay back, and so here I am putting my money in. Give it if you want to. Bless him. Even if he doesn't give back, that is fine. Take it. But what is sad is there are people sometimes who take a loan for themselves, and out of a good heart, pure heart, they take that and bless somebody else with that. And that person, for whatever reason, is not a bad person, is unable to pay it at that time, and pulls this guy down. Not because a bad person. That's because somewhere you have broken the scripture. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, 15th verse. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. Did you find that? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 18. A man void of understanding, in other words, that's the biblical way of saying you are an idiot. Just a nice word. A man devoid of understanding The RSV version, the Rajesh Standard version says, you idiot. You become a surety for your friend. Proverbs 27. Isn't it amazing the amount of scriptures that is there on that? Proverbs chapter 27. You can read that later because there's too many scriptures. 26 and 27. So don't be a surety for somebody. Are you still with me tonight? The next one, I'm sure you will freak out. Married couples failing to operate as one financially. Stops you from having a financial increase. Usually the people say that every marriage enters into a problem when there is PMS. Power, money and sex. These are the three areas in which the problem usually arises. Either lack of it or too much of it. Whosoever controls the money controls the direction of the family. So there is, in families there are people, husbands and wives, who don't see themselves as one. The husband has got a job, the wife has got something. They got their own independent bank accounts, hidden funds. Some of those things I can't go deeper because there are children sitting here. But money stashed up without the spouse knowing. And how do you expect God to prosper you? Genesis chapter 2. Verse 24. The book of Genesis chapter 2. Verse 24. It says there, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be. See, God loves unity. God loves you being joined together, even financially. And even young people who are going to get married, remember this. If that man doesn't pay bills before marriage, chances are that he won't pay bills after marriage too. If that woman doesn't cook before marriage, and you want a woman who cooks, I'm not saying every woman should be a cook. But what I'm saying is, if you're looking for a woman who can cook you a decent breakfast or lunch or dinner, don't expect that woman to be cooking after marriage. If that guy is somebody who loses his cool at every other word, every sentence, Don't expect him to be very sober after marriage. Marriage doesn't change anybody. Coming to church doesn't change them. Then how is marriage going to change them? Have you seen something in your spouse which made you think, was that always there? Was that person always like this? It could also be that getting married to you brought the worst out of that person. It could also be that. But for financial increase, there needs to be a joining, a connection, a unity, oneness. Seldom does a husband and wife ever even pray together concerning their finances. Many a time one of the spouses don't even know what's there, what's not there. Most husband and wives can exchange their body fluids but can never share their finances. Separate accounts. Imagine, just imagine, okay? And just, my wife has got $10 million that her brother gave her, and that's hers, $10 million. Before marriage, her brother gave her $10 million, because if her father and mother gives her, it'll only be in Indian rupees. So just for my joy for a second, just imagine her brother gave her $10 million, saying, sister, take it, $10 million for you. Before marriage. Now after marriage, is that mine too? After marriage, is that mine too? You think so? How many of you think so? Just a few of you. Some of you are not sure. It is. Even if that, or imagine, she's got a debt, very small figure of 5 rupees. After marriage, is it mine too? Yes. That's what marriage is all about. The two shall become one. And that is financially also. So unless you learn to be one, God cannot increase you in that area. Lift your family life to the Lord. Swallow a heart 3 times and say, Lord, help me with this. And pray. Holy Spirit. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands and ask the Lord to bless your family. Bless. Let there be oneness in every home, in your family lives, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We cancel financial debts in the families in the name of Jesus. I ask you to release finances, Lord. Increase in the family lives. Let there be supernatural provisions for families in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be unity. Let there be love in the family. Into your hands, say, come into your children right now. Bless them, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. The next point is that? Number 7. God cannot increase people who expect money without labor. Now that we come to church and pastor has put oil on our head and prayed and spoken about financial increase, Proverbs chapter 13 verse 11. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I don't hear you say that. Proverbs 13 verse 11. Yes. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 4. Shall have nothing if he doesn't work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Yeah. They're just busybodies, not working at all. And today's something that I've seen is people, but even youngsters, even when they say, my job description only demands so much. But people who increase are people who will do more than what their job description says. I've seen that. Otherwise, you might get paid for it, but there is no increase. Are you with me? Your job description is this, but I'm going to go and do much more. Why should you get extra when you don't put extra into work? We get, most people, have youngsters come to me and say, Pastor, pray in the office, you know, this guy, I mean, everybody got higher pay scale. I didn't get anything, no extra for me, no dividend, nothing. And I ask them, why should they? Did you put in anything extra? Did you put in something extra? Praise the Lord. And even in church, let me tell you, forget finances, but let me tell you, if you just do what you are supposed to do, there won't be excellence. Matthew 5, Jesus said, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go a second mile also. So there are 1 mile Christians and 2 mile Christians. 1 mile Christians are, to go 1 mile, exactly 1 mile. Put that chair there, brother. That one chair is put. A glass of hot water, the hot water is kept. 1 mile Christians. But Jesus said, if somebody tells you to go 1 mile, go an extra mile. This is not just not this. I will do more than this. And that's where the excellence comes in. That's where the anointing comes in. That's where the glory of God is manifested. That's where the blessing comes through. That's where the increase comes through. If you realize that, put your hands together and worship the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus. Help me to be an extra mile person for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. The eighth one is misusing credit cards. Misusing. I know of a church that has a credit card cutting ceremony. And that is, the pastor will say, everybody who's misusing the credit card, bring your credit cards. And he'll have two scissors there. And he'll say, you cut it and put it into that box. Because that is a sign that you're not trusting in God. I remember the first time I had to travel abroad. I didn't have a credit card with me, and then realized at least a credit card is important, because every flight booking, every hotel booking, everything is through the credit card. So I prayed and prayed, and God gave me 3 credit cards. But I realized it's not a blessing. If you have a need, you use it. But you use that credit card only if you have money in your account. Money that you don't have, and I'll tell you, you go to a shop and you like something, and the credit card whispers to you, I am there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You don't have the money, but the credit card says, I am there for you. At least my credit card is there for me. Look at somebody and say, only use the credit card if you have money in the bank. I know people in the church who have got credit card liability debt. And they just keep using, because after 1 month they'll say, pay a minimum amount. So you keep the minimum amount. And they'll say, after that, another minimum amount. You pay the minimum amount. And by the time you finish paying off the entire amount, you don't even know what you used it for. Look at somebody and say, don't use the credit card to get into debt. The 9 and 10, I just mention it and then we pray together. It's the foundation. We're just laying a foundation to. The 9th one, failure to have to prepare yourself, I don't know how to word it, for your death, and to write a will. Failure to prepare for your death and to write a will. Do you know the percentage of people who have been born onto the earth and people who have died is 1:1? Everybody who's born has died. Do you know that? All of us will die one day. Nobody likes it. Let's pray that it is not immediately. And I've seen people who died, there was not even enough money in the family to buy their own coffin. Because they didn't prepare themselves. Joseph of Arimathea bought a grave for himself much before he died. Are you with me? When you die, and if you are especially the breadwinner in the family, it could be man, it could be woman, whoever, but if you are the breadwinner, your family is sustained by you, what's the will going to be? Every pastor has got a secret expectation that when he dies, the church will take care of his wife and children. And I tell pastors that's not true. I've helped out so many pastors. They've suddenly died, and even the parsonage they were staying, their wife and children are put out. On the street, churches that they pastored and fasted and prayed for people. So even if you are a pastor, you got to ask God to give you a financial increase to take care of your family. Lift your hand and say, Lord, help me with that. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. Yes, if somebody does not take care of his own household, he is denied his faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Is this helping anybody here today? The 10th one. Always prepare for your retirement and don't take or withdraw out of that deposit. Anybody who is working cannot work that way all through his life. There comes a point where you are not able to work as much as you would like to. But you gotta have the confidence that, okay, I have prepared for my retirement. You wanna buy a house, you wanna send your children for education, you can go to a bank for a loan. But can you get a loan for your retirement? I'm old, I need a loan. They won't. And many a person, a parent thinks, okay, they got children and the children will take care of them when they are old. But sad to say, even among believers, there are parents who are in old age homes. Because either the woman who got married to the guy, or the guy who doesn't like to support his wife's parents or whatever, they just left them. And every Easter and Christmas, they will take two apples for them. And I had to prepare this message in a very practical way from the word, because I'm speaking about financial increase and everybody's saying, yeah, I catch that. But if the practical foundation is not there, let me tell you, you're deceiving yourself. Are you with me? Once you make sure those foundations are right, God will release forth the harvest. God will send forth an increase. God will multiply you. And God will bring you out of every debt and every curse and poverty and release you into an abundance of His kingdom. If you believe that, put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your retirement fund should never be a savings account where you withdraw. Either people fail to prepare for retirement or they just keep withdrawing. Don't do that. Are you with me? Now, you might have made mistakes in all these 10, But if you repent and say, Lord, I am sorry, I didn't have this wisdom, forgive me, I need you to fill me with your wisdom, and I want you to build my finances, God will help you, God will deliver you. And that is why we are fasting, we are praying, we are ministering this word, not to see you tied down and in bondage, but to see you financially increase, multiply, and walk in the fullness that God has kept for you. Hallelujah. If you believe that, lift your hand and say, that is mine in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and pray. Can I have some hot water? Hot water. I just want you to either kneel down or stand up in the presence of God if this word is for you, and you want to bring your finances before the Lord and see where you are broken off in your life, in the where exactly is that foolishness. Repent of that. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need your wisdom, Lord. This is the time for you to pray. Let's we pray together as a church. We pray together as a church. And many a people, your family life, God wants to heal. He wants to bless. But you gotta love one another, accept one another, forgive one another, and pray together and be one. Don't be self-centered and say, this is what my parents gave me, and this is my money, my father gave it to me, this is mine. Don't say that. It's yours, but it is now ours to jointly to pray together and decide. It's important. Tonight, ask the Lord forgiveness. He wants you to be a good steward of the finances that He wants to bless you with. Don't be a surety for anybody. Give, but don't expect anything back. Don't co-sign into somebody's debt. Be very careful with partnerships and associations that you form, where somebody's debt does not become your debt. All I want is you, Lord. Open your mouth and say this, Jesus, I bring my life, my home, my finances before you. I need a financial wisdom, a financial deliverance. Lord, forgive me for every time I've been foolish. Cleanse me, Lord, with your precious blood. Fill me with your wisdom, your divine wisdom. Help me to be a good steward of every blessing in my life. I surrender all that I have at your feet. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus is my master. I renounce Satan. I renounce the world. I renounce sin. And I renounce mammon. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Wash me with your precious blood. Anoint me with an anointing of increase. Bless the work of my hands. Bless my finances. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to open your hands before the Lord as a sign of helplessness and need, and saying, Lord, I just open up my hands before you. I need you to fill it. I need you to fill it. I need you to fill it, Lord. I just need you to fill me, Lord. I just need to fill me. Lift your hands before the Lord and say, Lord, I need to fill my hands, Lord. Fill me with your wisdom. Fill me with your provision. Fill me with your blessing, oh God. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Thank you for being here. You have just been blessed by a powerful message from Pastor Rajesh Matthew. We at Cornerstone Church encourage you to join us as we gather in the name of Jesus to worship the Lord and to feed on His fresh word every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Malayalam services and for the English services on Fridays 6:30 p.m. and Sundays 3 p.m. in the afternoon. You can also watch us live at www.joshuageneration.org where the services are live streamed and archived for later viewing. God bless you, and remember, we are for signs and wonders for the Lord our God.